Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, saints, we just wanted to open this time with regard to what is the purpose of our gathering together this morning. And the purpose is that we would all function as priests. Amen. And serve God in our spirit. Amen. In the supply of the body. Amen. Through the dispensing of the triune God. Amen. In the gospel of his son. Amen. When we made the announcement for the time, the announcement mentioned we'd like to invite those roughly between the ages of 25 and 45, working saints, couples, serving ones, and invariably when we make an invitation like that, there's always the potential of leaving anyone out. And so if you're in this room this morning, you are not left out. And if you're listening to this message will be posted hopefully by tonight on a website. All the words of the speaking this morning is for you. Amen. And we just like to begin by asking the question and relating a burden that Brother Lee gave in 1988. When he said, what is the relationship of the working saints to the new way, to the Lord's move? And that's really the question that we like to answer this morning. What is our relationship as those who are working, whether you're a graduate student or a mother working at home, what is our relationship to the Lord speaking in these days that we would participate as functioning priests of the gospel? Amen. And Brother Lee gives a very helpful analogy of the relationship of the working saints to the body when he mentions that the working saints are like the backbone of a body. And that when a man's backbone is hurt, the entire body is in trouble. And so our functioning in the body of Christ has critical relevance in the day that we live in these days. Amen. And I'd also like to read just briefly something that was mentioned last night by Brother Andrew. If you don't serve God, you will serve something. We have all been delivered out of the hand of the enemy to serve him all our days. God saved us from serving something wrongly to serve God himself. No man can serve two masters. You are either serving the Lord or serving something else. Just as in Exodus, as many as are redeemed, that many should be serving ones. Amen. In the Lord's economy. Amen. He is not satisfied until everyone is serving the Lord. Amen. We look to the Lord that every one of us would be a serving one, serving God in our spirit in the gospel of his son. And so before Brother David gives a little opening word, we'd just like to mention the progression of this meeting briefly. This meeting will be divided mainly into two sections. The first section, after David speaks, we would like to open up this microphone for all of the saints to come forward and to testify, how are you living a vital living where you are in the middle of your circumstances in your locality? Amen. And we hope that many of you would give some consideration whether you're struggling, right, or you're functioning in your measure. Amen. Or you're on a quest for your function, that you would participate by coming up to the microphone. And Brother Andrew gave a helpful example relayed by Brother Lee that the message is like an arrow. And the testimonies are like the feathers of the arrow to help the message hit its mark. If you only have the message, You have no arrows with no direction. If you only have testimonies, you only have feathers. So this morning, we want for the first half to be the testimonies. And then in the second half, we'd like to ask the brothers to speak a practical word to us for our participation where we are in the Lord's move. Amen. And so we hope many of you, maybe even before coming this morning, you had no consideration to say something, but you would speak a little something about where are you in your situation. And we hope whether it's in the classroom, in the offices, in the living room with the kids, that we would all endeavor to function as priests. Amen. In our spirit, according to the measure of the Lord's grace and his sovereign arrangement in the gospel of his Son.
Amen. We'd like to briefly fellowship regarding the source, aim, and vehicle of the Young Adults Fellowship. First and foremost, we'd like to testify this Young Adults Fellowship is certainly not a movement of man. Amen. Initiated by a zealous group of young adults with natural enthusiasm. Rather, the Young Adults Fellowship is a move of the Lord. Amen. Initiated by the head of the body in oneness with a senior group of co-workers with a loving concern that our generation would enter into the measured function within the body of Christ. Amen. So in the 2007 winter training, the brothers gave us a landmark message where they encouraged us and even challenged us to enter into a vital living. Amen. Following this message, many of the co-workers gave messages in various young adults gatherings, and we must testify all these messages struck a responsive chord in many of the saints of our category. And they testified how these messages met their needs, changed their lives, and recalibrated their daily living and caused them to reconsecrate themselves to the Lord. How we must thank the Lord. Amen. As one brother said, it seems that a new age has dawned in our generation. And we'd like to tell you that according to our present understanding, the aim of the Young Adults Gathering is that we will become the vital, functioning, and maturing members of the body of Christ. Amen. That is, we will become the vital factors of the local increase and universal spread of the church, especially through our prayer, both personal and with companions. So according to our understanding, for us to carry out our commission, we must preach the all-inclusive gospel. Amen. For the increase of the church, and must participate in migration for the spread of the church. And both of these aspects must be supported by desperate and continuous companion prayers. Amen. Well, regarding our labor for the local increase, we'd like to read a short excerpt of Brother Witness Lee testifying how he intensely labored in the church in Chifu from 1937 to 1942 as a young adult in his early 20s with a family. In these 4 years in Chifu, I took the lead in everything, including the cleaning of the restrooms, which in China were terribly dirty. I took care of all the meetings, the prayer meeting, the Lord's table meeting, the elders meeting, and the service meetings, including the visitation and the shepherding. Quite often I went by bicycle to visit the saints in order to see their families and home life. I visited many special gospel cases. A number of families were brought in as a result. I kept long hours. Every night there was some meeting. These meetings lasted till about 10. Then I would return home. This was my way of life every day. I took no day off, no vacation for 50 months. Praise the Lord for our brother's wonderful pattern, living a life of burnt offering for the spread of the church. Amen. And the result of our brother's intense labor, as we all know, was a marvelous revival in Chifu in 1942. May our brother's pattern be duplicated in all of us. Amen. Well, regarding our participation in migration, we'd like to also read an excerpt from Bradley's words in 1978, which suggests that the young adults, young people of our age core category, must be used by the Lord to raise up new churches through migration. Today, the Lord will train a group of young people and send them out. The most crucial areas of the earth today are Europe and the United States. The Lord will gain the United States and Europe by capturing and training a group of young people. Soon, every European country and every major campus in the United States, and listen to this, will have a nucleus as a small army fighting the battle. Amen. And raising up new churches. Amen. We all need to pray and stand with those who go out. We must have a new start. The Lord needs a new current to flow himself out. We must give the Lord a way to have a new current. This certainly describes a crucial aspect of our generational call in the Lord's recovery for our age category. Amen. Finally, regarding our need for much and thorough prayer, I believe our brother Andrew will release a fresh burden to pray kingdom prayers. Prayers not only for our small groups in our locality, but our entire generation. Amen. And all the nations of the earth. And he will even hand out some excerpts for us to read. Finally, we'd like to let you know that there have been two particular vehicles that help move the Lord's burden for the young adults to move forward. The co-workers' messages and the young adults' testimonies. The co-workers' messages have been very enlightening and even life-changing. One particular aspect of their messages that we have come to treasure is their fragrant testimonies of how they lived the life of the altar and a tent in their young adult years. This certainly gives us a marvelous pattern for us to follow so that we would imitate the faith of the brothers and follow the footsteps of the flock. Furthermore, the young adults' testimonies also have been very recalibrating and inspiring. Many young adult brothers have shared with us that when they actually hear their peers progressing in the Lord, they realize vital living, scheduled living, bearing remaining fruit, and migration are not only necessary and indispensable, but also possible, Amen. Practicable, and even enjoyable.
Amen.
For this reason, Brother Andrew has exhorted us to begin our young adult gatherings with our testimonies. And as Brother Lee also testified, testimonies, when properly given, can be just as useful as the messages. In this way, brothers and sisters, we consider one another, exhort one another, and incite one another to love and good works.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, may the Lord, by His grace and mercy, make us vital factors of the increase and spread of the church.
Amen.
Through much prayer and ministry and preaching of the word for the sake of his body.
Amen.
So at this time, we'd like to open up the microphone for all the saints to come and speak your testimony. We've asked several brothers to begin the time. Maybe Brother James and Juan Carlos can begin. We've also reached out to several brothers from around the country, and we'd like to ask that you at this time would please come forward. Don't hesitate, and we'll begin by giving 2 minutes to everyone who speaks, and then at a certain point, as there's more saints, we'll cut the time down. Also, we wanted to extend a particular request that those of you who have begun to practically participate in the migration and to consider, pray with others for the Lord's move, to come and speak something of your experience. How do you take a family with children that's been located in an area for years and with all the financial considerations and begin to pray and see the Lord do something that you never thought he could do? We would like to hear from you. So with that, we'd ask the brothers to feel free to come forward. And saints, don't wait, because the time will go by quickly, and we'd just like to have as many saints as possible participate in speaking for the encouragement and building up of the saints.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for God's move among the young adults in his recovery.
Amen.
Just a brief testimony concerning the struggles and pursuit of the young adults in Anaheim. late last summer, based on the encouragement and incitement of our brother Benson and some other brothers, a group of about 20 to 25 young brothers in the church in Anaheim began to gather every Saturday morning to pray and be blent together from 8 a.m. to 9:30, week after week. And out of this fellowship and coordination, we began to gather a number of the young adults for fellowship. And just in this last term, we had two particular events that the brothers asked us to carry out on behalf of the church in Anaheim. And one was to have a gospel meeting 2 weeks ago. They charged all of us to bear the burden for this. So this included mailing out 7,000 letters to BFA recipients, making 1,400 phone calls to those who wanted to be called, printing out 5,000 of these invitations, and inciting the saints to go out at least twice a week for an hour to preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
And one brother wrote a tract called It's Human to Need God, and we went out and passed these out. I, by nature, am very shy and do not like to speak the gospel. But 2 days before the gospel meeting, I went out and was burdened to preach to a building security man at the bottom of my building. So on the way down the elevator, the mayor of Anaheim stepped into my elevator. And I thought about, but I didn't only had one invitation, so I didn't. And then a few floors later, a state congressman stepped into my elevator with his entourage, but I couldn't. But then I got to the bottom of the building, praise the Lord, I gave it to this security man. And he said, I've been to your church. This is on Ball Road, right? And I said, yeah. He said, the reason I have this job is because your members prayed for me to get this job when I came from Kenya a year ago. Then he reached into his duffel bag and pulled out a recovery version. And said, I got this letter to invite me to this meeting last week. But I can't come, but I just want you to know I love reading this Bible. It's full of these explanatory note thingies, and it's so helpful. Anyway, praise the Lord for the gospel meeting.
Amen.
And the gospel being preached to many open vessels in our city.
Amen.
At the meeting, eventually 90 new ones came. About 20 or so stood up, or in the small groups later, stood up to receive the Lord. 14 were baptized. And many of the young adults and saints were encouraged
Amen.
To rise up and live a gospel-preaching life
Amen.
In our localities.
We also had the opportunity to have a retreat for the young adults from both the church in Anaheim and the church in Cyprus. And that was on the beginning of the month of May, the first weekend of May. And we can testify that the Lord really poured out his blessing on this entire time. The brothers shared with us the messages that were given in the last training for the elders and responsible ones. On the matter of the vision, the person, the living, and the responsibility of a serving one. And we can testify that for many, this weekend was even the dawn of a new day. The Lord really gained a lot. We saw that we need to be those that need to be governed and directed by a vision. And this vision is God's building. And in our person, we need to be those that take Christ as everything. Related to our living, we need to be those that have a life that is hidden with Christ in God.
Amen.
A life that is deeply rooted in Christ. And then we need to be those that are faithful in our service. One of the points that came out is that in the Lord's recovery, there's not the need for too many gifts, but the need is for many to be faithful. One of the highlights of the weekend was the sharing of the brothers. They shared their testimony with us of how they received the Lord, how they came into the church life, and most importantly, how they have remained in the Lord's recovery for all these years. This was quite encouraging to all of us. And then another thing that was quite encouraging for us was the matter of the entire church basically picking up the burden of caring for our children during the weekend. There was quite a bit to do, and many, many saints gave up their weekend just to go up to the mountains so that all the young adults could be released to participate in all the meetings. Many of the young adults testified that This was the first time in many, many years that they were able to be in all the meetings. So the Lord is doing a lot. The Lord is gaining a lot. May the Lord continue to gain us so that he can close this age and come back.
Amen. Saints, we encourage you when you begin, if you could say where you're from, this could be a help not only to others in the room, but to those listening to the message may realize the Lord's doing something in their area.
Amen.
Also, Brother David Ho, at the two-minute mark, will just raise his hand. At that point, feel comfortable, according to as you're led, to just conclude so that the next people can go. We're so happy so many are standing here. Amen.
So my name is Tim Washington from the church in Bellevue. And 3 weeks ago, we had our first gathering with the Working Saints. And for the last 12 to 18 months, there had been a growing burden and desire that we could get together and have fellowship. But last month, 6 weeks ago, we built up a lot of momentum coming, especially after the Itero, and we felt that we needed to come together before the summer training. And this time, we had a larger attendance than was expected, and our primary burden was, A, just to share this general burden with the young adults, the working saints, since many had not yet heard about it. So we shared that in the opening or the first meeting. We had some breakout sessions to have some testimonies and fellowship together. We had one of the brothers share with us a further word in the afternoon after lunch about the need to gather together in the twos and threes. And I think many were encouraged by this fellowship that we need to gather together. We need to pray together. We need to find or fight to meet together to pursue the Lord.
Amen.
So this time, we were very thankful to the Lord for providing it. Even elders, many of the elders themselves volunteered to babysit and take care of the children, which was a huge encouragement to us that the brothers were willing to sacrifice in that regard in order to enable all the mothers and all the parents and all the saints to come together for this fellowship. And we anticipate having more times. We're looking to the Lord how we would go on, but we anticipate having more times like this to encourage one another and to find a way to have a vital living and have a vital service in the church life.
Amen.
And then for me personally, I've been listening more to the fellowship on livingtohim.com. And I can say it's been very refreshing, very encouraging, very calibrating to hear the fellowship from so many of the co-workers.
Amen.
So thank the Lord.
Amen. My name is Tim. I'm also from the church in Bellevue. And just to give a brief background, a few of us brothers have been praying in a somewhat consistent basis for a few months regarding the young adults after listening to all the fellowship that are on the website. And some of us attended several of these fellowship, and we realized that because leading to the summer month was a really busy time for us, both locally and also related to the training. But we just had a sense that we need to do this sooner rather than later. The invitation actually was only sent out a week before the actual event. So the meeting was held on Saturday, and then the actual invitation was probably sent down the Lord's Day prior. We were only expecting about 40 will show up, but we ended up getting around 70. So close to double what we had expected, and we kind of ran out of lunch a little bit. But one thing that I really was touched is just to seeing the faces of the young adult saints in the area, many of whom that we may not be so familiar with each other. But when we get together, we realize that we are in the same struggle together. And just to give a brief testimony, that I feel different localities, we may be on different stage of this spiritual R&D. This term really helped us to kind of calibrate our view towards our time together. And the earlier fellowship had indicated that none of us had the answer, but we will be in this struggle together. So that all of us can participate in this vital living.
Amen.
And I realized that a lot of us want to participate in migration. A lot of us want to be vital. A lot of us want to be in the gospel. But for me, many times I'm looking for some event in the future that I'll be able to do that. But especially after this training, the word on the today Christ and the now Christ
Amen.
Made me realize that if I don't enjoy Christ now,
Amen.
Right, or In other words, if I only enjoy Christ now, it's the only way that we can be participated in all in the Lord's move today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Time is... Okay. I would just like to share a personal testimony. I'm Mark Staley from Seattle, right next to Bellevue. And just with a couple of my companions, based on our just sporadic time in twos and threes, we decided to set aside a time, 1 hour every week, to guard and get together, to mainly try to hit four things that Brother Lee covers in Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups. Firstly, to get into some intimate and thorough fellowship with one another, especially with a view to intercede for one another, not just to share what's going on, but so we can pray for one another. And based on that, spontaneously some practical care comes out from the Lord's heart for one another. And fourthly, to spend some time getting into the truth and the ministry every time we get together. And sometimes they come in different orders. It's not set that they're always the same amount, but we try to hit those four main things. And the Lord has really blessed our time together. And also, something organic is happening. It's not just a meeting this one day a week, but we're becoming more burdened for one another. Even after spending time with the Lord in the morning, then the Lord will bring to our hearts one another and the things we've shared. And our need for all of us to spend time together, or spend time with the Lord in the morning, even this, we're praying for one another. And anyway, I feel like the Lord has a way now to reach out and gain some fruit based on our nest that's being built up.
Praise the Lord. My name is Remigio Muzaninamo, and I'm with the church in Hazelwood. That's a suburb of St. Louis, Missouri. So praise the Lord that I've been able to come here. But I just wanted to, state my testimony a little bit. And I was just enjoying this verse that they overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their mouth, which was their testimony. And they loved not their soul lives, even unto death. So speaking out, it's very important because it encourages others, and it also causes others to be vital. So I met, I haven't been in the church life for long, but I've been a Christian pretty much all my life. But when I met the brothers, I met the brothers through a friend of mine who was still on campus doing an MBA. So as a result of the contact that they had with that brother, he only told me about it like after a year or so. And so the first thing that I did was when I got, when I got the information, I contacted a brother. Then he invited me for dinner at his house. We sat down and, we just had a meal. And there was so much truth that he was expounding. And I've been around Christians pretty much all my life. But I had never heard the word being expounded in such a way. So initially what drew me was the knowledge. So all these high things that were being spoken, honestly, I did not see it. He spoke it, but around them, I did not really see it. And I was just like, oh, okay, Lord, we'll just wait and see. Then as time goes on, thank the Lord for his mercy. They were so wise to get me to the winter training last year. That's when I came for the winter training, that's when I saw, the great light, like the corporate light. And I saw it. I'd seen Christians, who illuminate throughout my life, for here, one there. But I saw it when I came for the winter training. And as a result, I've just been serving with them on campus. Pretty much full time, but the thing which is happening in St. Louis, in the Midwest, is It's part of the Bible Belt, so it's pretty much, I mean, you know, there is nothing really that you can tell them. Their attitude is like, if it didn't start with us, we'll assess it, then maybe, you know, maybe we might come along, maybe we might not. That's just the Midwest. And thank the Lord that the students that we are serving with on University of Missouri, St. Louis, and some on WashU, and some of St. Louis University, which is SLU, they are beginning to catch the vision because we are being a pattern to this living Christ.
Amen. Daniel Combs from the church in Atlanta, and just a brief report. After the ITERO training, some of us gathered together just to give another account, a report of what's going on in localities. And we heard that some of the young adults in other localities were getting together to pray. So a couple weeks after the training, we began to meet on Saturday morning, some of the brothers, the young adults, with the elders, just to pray, to come together to pray over the word, touch the Lord together. And we've been doing that since. And we just wanted to open up and ask you all for your prayers for the young adults in Atlanta. I believe there's about 70 in this category. And just how we would go on from here. We're just continuing to pray on Saturday morning and just encouraged to be here with you all. And we're all standing together, right? And just wanted to praise the Lord for this time. Amen.
Paul Yowell from the church in Irvine. And in Irvine, I think we have over 200 in this category. So it's quite a large number. So we've had a burden for quite some time to do something. And we started about the beginning of last year doing some things. And in particular, the last 6 months, we've started to have meetings once a month at which Brother Minoru or Brother Tom Getz have been sharing. So I wanted to share a little bit of what kind of line that we've been on. We've been on the line of numbering in the Old Testament, in particular in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And each one of these has, it's a numbering from a certain perspective. In Exodus, the numbering was from the perspective of redemption. So by being redeemed, we're numbered. We count. But it's also a certain type of numbering. It's a numbering for the army. Meaning, when we're redeemed, we count, but we also need to be ones who serve. Amen. It's like a double calling. We're called to salvation, but we're also called to serve. Amen. So in that meeting, we were impressed. We all need to be ones who serve. Amen. In Leviticus, the perspective is from consecration. And here, every time we're consecrated, it's a numbering. And in fact, there is different groups, and they all had different values, meaning that we need to be ones who make our consecration full. Brother Minoru told us every day we need to increase our level of consecration. Till eventually, you know, there was that age group, the 20 to 60-year-old males. They were the most valuable. He said, if we need to be ones who are valuable in the church life, valuable in the church service, and the way that happens is by our making our consecration full. And the last one was on Numbers, and this was particularly related to the Levitical service. And there were two things that I was really touched with. One is all the tribes were on the outskirts. It says at a distance, right? So Brother Minoru asked us, are we following at a distance the church life, or are we ones who are diving in? And the second thing was related to migration. When the cloud lifted, it was a sign that they needed to move. And what age group, what particular group of ones were the ones that moved and carried the testimony of God? It was the 25 to 50-year-old Levites. So we were all impressed. Not only do we need to be ones who are just in the church life, we need to be ones who bear the burdens of the church life, amen, who carry the testimony of God according to the Lord's plan.
Amen. How about we cut the time down to 1 minute? Amen.
Praise the Lord. My name is Annie. I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan. The University of Michigan campus is there. And I'm just really touched this week concerning a few different matters. One is my living, the need for vital groups, are pursuing together, our need to be trained and that we need to care for all these matters by a desperate and persevering prayer. So in Ann Arbor, I'm married. I have a five-year-old son. And this last year was the first year he was in school full time. So this gave me a lot of opportunities to get into a lot of the ministry, to go out and visit some sisters that we don't always see, and to just use a lot of time to just give myself to the Lord. And when the summer came, I was just, well, how am I going to spend the summer because I have my son with me? Lord, how am I going to pursue these things? And so I just really, that's 1 minute? Okay, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. May we persevere with a desperate prayer.
Amen. My name is Rebecca Sarush. I'm also from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I guess I would just testify that as human beings, we all are going to serve something. And the enemy is seeking someone to devour. So I just have to testify that we need to beware because as working saints, personally, I didn't think the world was that attractive to me. I finished the training. I thought, I don't like TV. I don't really enjoy music. But we need to realize that the enemy will attack us, and a lot of times it's in the workplace. So personally, I was put in a job, and I never would have thought, but my soul just loved it so much. And the enemy is arranging all these things strategically to pick off this, to collapse this particular group of the Lord's children because we can be useful to him, not because we're anything, but because that's his arrangement. So we just we need to beware of the enemy's stratagems, and we need to be desperate to have a vital church life.
Amen. My name is Becky Stewart. I'm from the church in Long Beach, and my husband and I are pretty burdened for migration, but for under circumstances, we're not able to go right now. But my burden is, if we're going to be burdened for migration, we need to get ready now. The matter of the gospel, the matter of constitution of the truth, all these matters, we need to be equipped right now. And my husband serves on the campus, but I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I have two kids, 6 and 4. And I just was burdened before the Lord. Lord, I want to be an outlet for the gospel in my life. Not just, I mean, I'm in contact with some saints on the campus, but in my life. And I just was burdened, Lord, I want to be obedient to the heavenly vision. I don't want to, if you can't get through in me, who are you going to get through in? And I just started to try to pass out these Bibles for America tracts, you know, Is Jesus in Your Boat, you know, all these different ones. And I just started giving them to the store vendors and different things. But anyway, eventually I started praying with my prayer partner, and just things have opened up in play dates with my kids' parents, and we're going to have Bible study this summer. And anyways, I just feel like if we give the Lord small cooperation, then the Lord has a way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How encouraging. For the sake of time, how about no more coming up? And at the last, brother, that'll be the indication that the co-workers can speak a word to us. Keep going. Amen.
Amen. I'm from this church in Houston, and I love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah, saints. We've been entering into the Wednesday night ministry messages in the morning of on Saturday mornings, and we've just been so blessed with that time. And it's not only been just a supply for our weekly meetings throughout the week, but also for our serving of the young people.
Amen.
And hallelujah, I love to serve the young people.
Amen.
Lord, oh Lord, what a blessing. If you haven't served the young people or watched the Wednesday night ministry message, just ask the Lord, Lord, give me the opportunity.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Also, I love reading the Bible at work during my lunch break, saints. All the other coworkers go off and they go to lunch together every day, but I just love the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that a wonderful, brother? That's my husband. Anyway, I want to testify of scheduled living, companion prayer, and also help learn to build up one another. You know, he was mentioning about the Saturday morning time. Last time we testified that time was actually on Thursday. But actually, eventually didn't work out because everybody's working busy in the weekday. So then me and another sister, we work in the same building. I just throw this idea, can we do it Saturday morning? And before that, we just had a young adults meeting in Houston. And then that sister, I didn't know there was so much going on in her. And she was struggling because Saturday is my time. She's a very busy working sister. Her husband even busier than her. But eventually she yielded to the Lord. And I just felt, I didn't know all this. I just knew that Brother Lee said we should try to bring the meetings into another's home if you want to build up that person. So it just kept going. Eventually she herself testified this is a life-changing event in her Christian life.
Amen.
And she started coming to prayer meetings, opened up her homes. This is very satisfying to see.
Amen.
Hansel Bailey from the church in Huntington Beach.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Subjectively, my wife and I, we have four sons, and they're ages from 4 to 11, so a slightly different perspective. About 2.5 years ago, we gave ourselves to the burden for migrating to Europe, and we were in process to do that. And due to circumstances, we were not able to go at that time. So what do you do? What do you do? You sit and cry? No! You enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
So what we've been burdened for as a family is to continue on with the things that the Lord has presented to us where we're at. We have children crawling through the fences in our neighborhood at our home just to play with our children. So we've taken opportunity to have a neighborhood children's meeting. Why? Because that's what you do when you have eight boys in your living room. The Lord has really touched me with the matter of having a vital companion. And I've been going out Monday afternoons with Walt Hale. Where's Walt Hale? Anyway, praise the Lord, just to preach the gospel. So may the Lord give us the vital companions, and may we pursue him where he has placed us now.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. My name is Jonathan Samaneo from the church in San Diego. And recently, through much fellowship and coordination, the brothers in the county asked us to move from our locality to a campus in San Diego State. And I just want to testify that it's been glorious. About a year ago, we received a call, and through much prayer, to move to this house right next to the campus. So my family, my wife, two children, 5 and 4, and a chihuahua, a little dog. We pack our things finally in February 14, and we moved to SDSU. Praise the Lord. And there, we've really been enjoying the Lord in the district. It's a small district composed mainly of older saints and younger students. So one of the concerns we had is our children, you know, because with the locality where we're from, we used to be, there was a lot of children's, you know, children's meetings. And anyway, so one of the concerns was what's going to happen to our children. So the shepherding has been so marvelous. There's some college-age sisters that play with the girls, you know, and then the girls find another grandma, so to speak, another sister that takes care of them. So it's been just so glorious. Another concern we had is my work. I still have my 8-hour job. My wife also is working. So I was thinking how I can serve these young ones with the unsearchable riches of Christ, right? So I just had to find time in the morning to really get saturated, infused with the Word. Because when I come home, they're there. They're waiting there. They're waiting for dinner. So we just have to be faithful to this ministry. Praise the Lord.
Gabriel Tai, church in Spakenburg, the Netherlands. Ik hou van u, Heer Jezus. That's I love you, Lord Jesus, in Dutch. I hear a lot of brothers coming to me and saying, you know, I don't know practically how to go to Europe. So I'll just, you know, share how I got there. Last year when I graduated from the training, I was just applying to schools and stuff like that. So I'm doing a one-year master's program. So it's almost done now. And after doing the master's program in the Netherlands, they have a new program called a search year visa, which allows you to work there for 1 year or to look for a job. It doubles as a work permit. So I just encourage maybe, you know, people can go in the way of education. You know, I don't even like to study, but, you know, I'm over there. So, okay. And there are scholarships available. You just have to look for them. So if the Lord moves you, you know, please come to the Netherlands. Come eat and dine. Amen.
Amen. Obi Aji from Arlington, Texas. I'd just like to say I don't feel very qualified to be here or speaking here as one who is barely in this category. But praise the Lord for the inclusive spirit in this fellowship. Amen. I realize I've been very much encouraged from this fellowship, particularly with the point of having a definite prayer companion. Amen. For the first time, I've seen quite a few people getting saved. But for the first time through this endeavoring to pray with another brother, I've seen someone get saved and be baptized in the bathtub. Amen. I also really appreciate the matter of migration in the sense that in the Dallas area, there's quite a burden for lampstands to be raised up. And the brothers have asked us to consider before the Lord if we would go. And something interesting has happened is that although before the Lord I feel not to go and to remain my locality, within me is a burden more for where I am in my locality. There's a feeling of being sent to Arlington. But also there's a feeling and a burden for the saints in this lampstands being raised up. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for this fellowship.
Amen.
Hello, saints. I'm Sister Leanne. I'm from the church in Perth, Western Australia. In our locality, we have roughly 80 saints meeting on the Lord's Day, mostly younger Asian students, under 30. I've been in the church life since 1996. I used to be a public servant for 12 years prior to that. And now I just want to serve Christ. Amen. We have a burden for many lampstands in Australia. I just cannot remember the figure. I think it's 10 within the next 10 years. Within the next year, sorry. So 10 new lampstands within the next year. So, you know, so Australia is quite burdened. We're doing BFA and Bibles for Australia, sorry. Yeah, and and I just encourage you to pray for the churches in Australia, pray for Perth. We need strengthening and... Amen.
Greetings from the church in Berkeley. We are Paul and Beth Dobenmeyer, and we'd just like to give a little report through the speaking in the ministry, through the fellowship in the body. There's been a definite move in Berkeley with this view towards migration. In the last 2.5 months or so, we've had five gatherings of this of the saints, which has averaged around 30 in number, and that includes some older couples, that includes a large number of saints in this category, and also the students. And our view has just been to come together to minister to the Lord for His move. We just realized we need to be those who enter into His grace and stand in it. The Lord is really moving in these days, and through this fellowship and through the prayer and the coordination, we realize even if we are not those who are being sent out to one of the GTCA cities, we are those who are being sent to Berkeley. Amen. It's a very clear realization among the saints that in the saints going, we are also going to strengthen the church here.
Amen. Amen. I've thoroughly enjoyed those times of getting together to pray for the Lord's move. Because if we're not moving right away, this is a time that we really maintain and strengthen our burden to go.
Amen.
And as right now in Berkeley, I'm working full time, and I really enjoy my job to the point where I'm happy to work overtime and not eat for lunch, you know, and just something small, just so I don't have to stop working. I really enjoyed working, but actually through these times of fellowship, just realizing I wasn't sent to Berkeley to work. I was sent to Berkeley for the Lord's move.
Amen.
And it has just changed the way my work tastes. Mm-hmm. It's not as good as it used to be. It's just a job, but it's just a job, the best job for the Lord's move in Berkeley.
Amen.
So even I just really appreciate the experience of just needing to be uprooted in Berkeley to be sent to Berkeley.
Amen.
And it's just changed the way I work, changed the way I'm at home, changed the way we open our home.
Anyway, praise the Lord for the Lord's move in our locality.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm Andy Chow from the church in Cerritos, and I'd like to share a little bit about the God-ordained way that we're practicing Cerritos. When I came back from Taiwan, we started preaching the gospel on a weekly basis, and there would be probably between 7 to 12 of us that would go out to the surrounding community areas to preach the gospel. That gave me a taste to realize that the local places is where the young people will go, and that's where we're going to hit. So since then, we've had much prayer, and even some of us will continue to go out and preach the gospel in this area. So I just want to give you a little testimony of what has happened. One day, I had lunch with a couple of brothers in Little India, and as I was walking out, you know, Little India is full of Indian people, and people think, you know, maybe you might think they're close to the gospel, but as I was leaving the restaurant, a brother had the burden to speak to the waiter. So we got the waiter and his brother and got all their information. They were Christians, but they hadn't read the word in a long time. And then when I walked out, I got numbers of 3 more young kids who were just walking along the streets. These are all Indian people. And then recently, we have something called the RSG that we practice in Cerritos. And then the RSG, one of the persons prayed this prayer. Lord, I want to be one with you. He has never been to a home meeting. He has never met more than 3 saints ever. But because we have continuous RSGs with this guy for about 2.5 months, he was able to pray this prayer. Amen. Thank you.
My name is Chichu Okoli from the church in Montreal, Canada. After I graduated from the training last year, I was very burning, wanting to live a vital living. But I'd say that my, especially in matter of scheduled living, has been an utter failure. It's been a big struggle for me. I've been working full time, been very busy, I have had some companions I've been praying with and struggling with, and I realize I need to continue the struggle to fight the good fight of the faith. But my main salvation has been opening my apartment for meetings. And the Lord burdened me for the French meeting. So we had a turmoil in Montreal recently. The French meetings were pretty much wiped out. But by the Lord's mercy, in September, the Lord recovered the prayer meeting in French. And then in February, home meeting in French. And then I believe in April or so, and we started a prophesying meeting in French. And the Lord has been increasing the number of saints. Now that Montreal is designated as a GTCA city, we've had a lot of saints visiting, some would burn to migrate, and we're just continuing the fight, the struggle. And I just really want to continue to fight to get vital companions to be vitalized in what the Lord is doing.
My name is Ken Lee, and I'm in the church in Irving, Texas. And I'm just really touched about this matter of the apprenticeship. And what I'm really touched about is to come and practically see where we are, who we are in this point of our lives. I'm 30, you know, I came into the church life when I was 32, and I joined the middle-aged training when I was 33, and then I graduated, and 2 years into my church life, I came to the church in Irving, Texas. And from this fellowship, I just went to the Lord. Who am I? Where, you know, what should I be doing? And I just feel like, you know, it's just refreshing to know that, you know, I'm in the apprenticeship. You know, as one who's in the apprenticeship, I'm not perfected, but I'm not a baby. And I just want to be one with what the Lord is doing with me today. In the church in Irving, you know, since I've been in the church in Irving 2 years, there's 6 families that have either migrated or will migrate, and it's all been a normal experience. And I just want to be perfected and just be one of those ones that can just naturally migrate.
Hi, my name is Beth, and I'm from the church in Austin in Texas. I'm 25, and I just recently graduated from UT Austin, and just before the Lord, I've been considering what my position will be, because I'm not able to go to the training immediately, and so I have to work for at least a year, and I feel like just there is this emphasis on for students who've recently graduated from college to go directly to the training, but for those who can't, I feel like it's somewhat mysterious, like, what are we going to do? Like, I feel like there's not enough fellowship. And so I know that my my church life has been predominantly through the university, like being taken care of the saints and being vitally joined to the saints in college. And how is that going to translate into the community? Because I'm going, you know, from being a college student to really being the community. So, amen.
Amen.
Saints, my name is Peter Duffy. I'm from the church in London. I'm in District 3. That's in the UK. The first thing I'd like to say is at training pace. I've learned much about the aspect of morning revival. And I said the word morning revival. It's not morning reading, and it's not morning convenience. The first thing is, it's revival. Second thing I've been learning is to live a life where I actually stop and listen to what the Lord says. I realize He speaks very quietly, but He speaks. Third item, and that is, a brother said to me, is we need fruit that remains. And in this, I felt really guilty, because it says when two or more join together, the Lord will give you what you want. And I realize, and I say this as a testimony not only to the Lord but to yourselves, but also to my wife, and that is that I have to learn how to be 100% vital with my wife. And I realize that I lack this. Amen.
I'm Isaac Liu from the church in Birmingham. My family have been serving and living nearby campus in the past 18 years, and including 11 years in UK. And we have been only doing one thing, is getting to ministry, and through the prayer with companion, and open our house nearby campus to get the young people to save. And ultimately, we have a goal to send them for full-time training. And yes, this is the only thing we have been doing. And in terms of migration, although I have been in England for over 10 years now, my family is still open to the Lord's leader, wherever we should go. And I'm going to move to a new campus because my recently offered a job. And this university very similar to UT Austin in terms of campus size and the student number. So through the preparation of a move, we have only one prayer. May the Lord bless this campus, make it to be UK's Austin, to get many young people for his economy. Praise the Lord.
My name is Gashao. I'm originally from Ethiopia, but I came through the Edmonton locality, and it's my first training, and I'm really very happy because God has given this opportunity for me to be here, and I'm really touched by the great hospitality, because I see the life of Christ and through the people. And also because God is peace, and by His glory and by His grace, I came to here. And I'm so blessed, and it's a good experience. You know, I have the heavenly experience on earth, because we are all from different parts of the world, but we are one in the bond of love. We are one in through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'm Lizzie Lee from the church in London. I serve on the campus team in Kingston. I don't have children, but two of the saints migrated from Canada who are on our team who have two young girls who are 12 and 7. Just like to testify to you about their testimony. And it's one hand, it's been very difficult for them, but on the other hand, it's been easy. So there were two main difficulties when they migrated, and that was schools and friends for their children. Their children didn't really want to migrate, to be honest. Schools, it was easy to get the 7-year-old into school, but the 12-year-old, she entered in the 11-plus stage, and it was difficult. But we just prayed. We prayed in our team. We prayed there were prayers between the sisters and the brothers, and we prayed in our cluster. So eventually she got into our school. And then there was also the problem of friends, because they left a very big church life with lots of young ones they could be with. So one problem was that, yeah, they felt like they didn't have any friends, but the students just came and took care of them. The young working ones in the church took care of them. So now their friends are the saints, but also there's some from school that they're beginning to take to the young sisters' time. So, yeah, just prayer and the word.
Amen, saints. My name is Veronica, and I'm coming from Madrid, Spain. And before that, I was in Los Angeles, and I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to physically be there. I know there's so many saints that want to go and are praying to go, are giving to go, but and I feel that. I feel that I'm not alone, even though I'm the only one. Well, not the only one, but I'm working there, and it's a different situation because when I first arrived, I was really busy with work, and I was calling out to the Lord. You know, I didn't come just to work. I wanted to be with the saints, and thankfully, the Lord removed that job, and then I was unemployed for a while, and I almost came back, and I realized that, you know, the Lord's heart is really there, and the Lord, there's so many prayers, there's so much praying going on, and the Lord gave me a clear realization that he wanted me to stay. So anyway, the church life there's about 50 saints, and I just realized that there's so many opportunities, even though it's not that developed as it is in Los Angeles, there's so many opportunities to meet with the saints and get into the Word together. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
My name is Cliff Mines. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I would just share with you our burden in Atlanta recently for Israel. Recently, I was in fellowship with a brother that's serving there, and we had fellowship, and I heard that there was a burden to go to the kiosks and the malls in the area, because some Israelis immigrate to the U.S. and they work at a kiosk in the mall. So some of the brothers have come together, and we have gone to the malls to preach the gospel to these Israelis. We haven't found any yet, but there's still some other malls we haven't gone to yet. But we have met a young brother from India. He's very open to the Lord. And another young lady from Afghanistan, I believe. So we were able to share some of the gospel. So there's a need for the gospel of peace.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. I'm also from Atlanta. My name is Charlie Gonzalez. And praise the Lord for the church in Atlanta. I just wanted to testify that the enemy really hates the church life. I'm actually working full-time. And it's been very hard to be a vital saint in the church life as a working saint. But praise the Lord for his mercy. I really have enjoyed the saints, and I've really just appreciated this training. This training is a mercy, and the church life is marvelous. And I just wanted to just encourage the saints that are working that the church life is a mercy, it's a salvation, and really fight for the church life.
Amen.
And be open to the Lord continuously for opportunities to serve him. Because if you're not serving the Lord, as we heard in the training, you're serving something else.
Billy and Tammy Lynn from the church in Champaign. We just moved there about 3 months ago. Give you a little testimony. When we moved to China maybe about 3 years ago, we had no thought of migration. Saints were coming up, being very encouraged, and we didn't want to tell them that we weren't there for migration. But when we went there, we had this prayer within us in Romans 8:14, Lord, I want to grow up to be the Son of God and not just be the child of God. And when we came back from China, we also had this prayer. But in our mind, we weren't going to go anywhere but Seattle for about 10 years. But we were in the Memorial Day conference, and when Brother Monero gave the call, both of us had their response. So since then, got a job, took my job to Champaign, and now I'm working, and my wife is in a community, and we're just endeavoring to be with the saints. And we've never had so much burden to have the students in our homes, and never spent so much time with the students.
Yeah.
Amen.
We feel like moving, our capacity has really been enlarged. We took that word a year ago. Brother Dan shared that if you're in a place and you're not sure what your function is or you don't know where you fit, he said you need to move. He said if you move, you put yourself between God and a need that he has. Amen. And then he'll use you to fulfill that need. Amen. And we felt like in moving, our capacity, our function in the church life has been greatly enlarged just by moving. So we'd encourage you all to do it. It's wonderful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Moses and Helga Timer. We live in Roswell, New Mexico. We don't have a church there. It's just both of us living. And our experience is a little different, and we really don't want to throw cold water. But we really want, in one sense, want to share our experience, and hopefully it'll turn out to be a positive one eventually. But we moved to Roswell, New Mexico about 3 years ago. And, of course, there was a lot of good fellowship with the brothers there from Los Angeles, and things opened up. Have a great job. I teach at a college as a professor. We meet with some students. It's a perfect situation for anybody. It really is. Great neighborhood, great school district. Everything is perfect. Obviously, the only thing that's lacking is the church life. It's just me and my wife, and we break the table together, break the bread together. And that's just the sensation that everything could be perfect, but, you know, it's difficult to go on. And we realized that, you know, was this the Lord's so-called purpose and this and that? But we realized that, you know, regardless of what's going on, we really do have a heart for the migration. You know, our heart is eventually to go to Europe or China or wherever. But we knew that maybe the Lord wants to prepare us a sort of stepping stone. So I would say there has to be a good fellowship with maybe some saints to make sure. And we thought some saints were going to move there and everything would work out. But, you know, we just really aspire and desire and want to be able to meet with even a brother, you know, to fellowship and really enjoy that sort of church life.
And, right, saints, if you have burden to migrate, consider Roswell, New Mexico. It's hard to be there. Just we have three kids, and if we see the gospel open, we just have to, you know, go there. You know, his school, he teaches in a military school. There's a university there, and they were open to start a Bible club. We were starting with the recovery version, but the thing is, he's the only brother, and the students are, you know, girls. So I have to drag three of my kids to go to the Bible, you know, meeting. And it didn't last because we need saints to coordinate. I just realized, you know, to start a church life, it's not easy. But you need the body. You need the prayer. You need the coordination with the saints. You know, the enemy is constantly attacking us because we are, in a sense, isolated. The nearest church may, you know, Albuquerque is 3.5 hours, El Paso 3-4 hours. We're in the middle of nowhere, you know, 45,000 population. But if the Lord wants a lampstand there, you know, we just pray that, you know, may the Lord raise up church in Roswell. Amen.
I'm Sharon Solem from Sacramento. I'll be migrating to Europe tomorrow, actually. And I just wanted to share what got me there, I guess, in the last year in preparing to go. Mainly, two things got me to sign up. One was the lure of a deeper experience of Christ. And the second one was just the story of Mary and how she poured out all that she had beforehand. And this matter of paying the price, this last year it's really been a paying of the price, but the Lord's been so sweet. There's a verse in Psalms 43 that says that we need to go to the altar of our God of exceeding joy. And on the altar is where we can find the joy. And the Lord's stripped me of a lot of things, house, my job, I guess, relationships, and all of that just brings the Lord sweet in to you in a closer and a sweeter way. And praise the Lord.
My name is Esther Shea from Philadelphia. I just wanted to share a testimony. After the perfecting training, we were given an assignment to have a definite companion, to pray at a definite time to pray definite prayers. So my companion and I decided to do that. But she works full-time, and she has two children under the age of five. So every Monday I go over there, have dinner, play with the kids. And then after the kids go to bed, we just pray. And the Lord has just been answering prayer after prayer. He actually touched us to keep track, to keep an account of the prayers. And so we have a list of all the prayers, and then we have a list of all the answers. And the Lord just, when we say we wish, the Lord says he will. And so he's been answering prayers related to the students on the campus, related to her coworkers, related to the gospel, related to the saints migrating to Philadelphia. And it's just been such a wonderful experience.
Amen. Amen. Dear Saints, I'm Isaiah from Germany, Heidelberg. And right now we have around like 10 saints in our Lord's Day meeting. We don't have table yet in Heidelberg. And around like 12 to 15 saints in our home meetings. But actually, 8 months before my wife and I moved to Heidelberg, there was only a twin brother with a brother with his twin sister. And we were four there in the beginning. And suddenly we contacted a new one from Thailand. Actually, he's a real seeker. And he saw the vision of house church. And then so we told him, we exactly have the house church there at our home. Yeah, our house is a church. And then he's very, burning for the Lord. So he started a ministry and so on. And so he started meeting with us. And we have a brother, he's from Africa, from Ghana. Actually, you know, he's extremely poor, but he just worked for 3 years, saved some money, also studied very hard to get a scholarship. And so he also moved to Heidelberg around like 7 or 8 months ago and joined with us. And later on, there's a sister. She's from Catholic Church. Yeah. And then she joined our meeting for several months. She said, oh, your meeting is so lovely. So she wants to move into our home. So now she's living with us. Yeah. And then also we have some, and then this brother Paul, he also brings some German student, his classmate, to our home meeting. Yeah. And then so now they come to our home, have morning revival every day. Okay. 10 seconds. Okay, they come to our home and morning revival every day. And then a couple, like 3 months ago, they went out to preach gospel, and they contacted someone from Iran. And these people from Iran, he came to our home next day, and he got saved. Yeah. And so after all the saints there, they got burned. Say, oh wow, yeah, we should go out to preach gospel. And I feel our blessing is from because it's not we are super. Capable. We are all students there, but actually we feel that because now the center of those move is in Europe, and besides the focus of your prayer, I mean not me, your prayer is in Europe. Yeah, so we feel the Lord strengthens us. We are super ordinary people there. You know, I don't speak English well. My German is poor. Yeah. But the Lord just strengthens us there. And that's amen. Praise the Lord.
By the end of August of this year, 16 saints from around the United States and from Europe will immigrate to Tel Aviv, Israel. I'd like to just real quickly tell you the family situation of all those going, mainly to convince you that your situation doesn't disqualify you. That there is a single brother just graduating the FTTA who is going. There is two couples who don't have any kids yet who are going and will begin their families there. There's a couple in their mid-30s with two children who are not yet in elementary school. There's a couple who are in their 50s, in their 40s, who have a daughter in middle school. There's a couple in their 50s who are leaving behind a 16-year-old son so that they can go. And there's a couple also, I believe, around the same age who's going, who's taking their high school-age daughter with them and their college-age son. And so, hallelujah, the Lord, if you are willing, can thrust you out even in your situation.
Amen.
Yes, my wife and I are going in about a week, and Titus and his wife are also going.
Amen. Yeah, so my name is Titus Boswell. Dave and I both serve here at the training center, and we're both moving to Israel in about 3 weeks. Anyway, I just was really appreciating all the testimonies today. I feel like what the Lord is doing today, you know, with the young adults and among the young adults in the Lord's recovery is absolutely necessary for him to take the next step in his move on this earth. Amen. And even for him to be able to consummate this age and to end this age. And saints, we can have a part in it.
Amen.
You know, I'm so happy and I'm so joyful that we get to go.
Amen.
I remember a couple of years ago, Brother Benson was sharing a quote from the course of the church, and I can't remember it verbatim, but it was something that, like, you know, once in our lifetime, we may have the opportunity to be a stepping stone for the Lord.
Amen.
And I remember praying, Lord, I don't want to miss that opportunity.
Amen.
Even if I go or if I stay, you know, among, you know, I was just listening to the saints from Berkeley. Hallelujah, you're sent to Berkeley. You're a stepping stone in Berkeley.
Amen.
Or you can be a stepping stone in Israel. And so I hope, you know, even when we're talking about these matters of migration and these matters of moving for the Lord, you would realize, hopefully, you can be available wherever you are.
Amen.
If you're here in Anaheim, you could be available for the Lord's move in Anaheim.
Amen.
And anyway, so there's this aspect. You know, we didn't want to miss being a stepping stone. And secondly, saints, the Lord is coming back.
Amen.
The Lord is coming back.
Amen.
And we can bring him back.
Amen.
And when we realize this, you know, that parable, when it talks about the good slave and the evil slave, you know, the evil slave says, my master delays, and so he beats his fellow slaves, right, mistreats him. And the good slave is serving his master. And I was appreciating this, that the difference between the good slave and the evil slave is one looks at his condition, he's concerning his need and the master coming and, you know, squaring accounts, worried about how the master is going to deal with him. The second one looks away to the master. He just cares for the master's need. And I realized that this is our situation, and this was my situation for a number of years. I always feared the Lord's coming because, Lord, I'm not ready. Don't come yet. Don't come yet, you know. And then a couple years ago when I was in the training, there's some sharing. I realized, Lord, your coming is not about me. It's about you.
Amen.
It's about your need.
Amen.
And we would like to be the ones who could meet the Lord's need.
Amen.
And lastly, I'll just leave you with this. When we were fellowshipping about going to Israel, what the brother said is that, you know, in the word we see that there is a day, a specific day that the Lord has in his heart to come back. Right? But we also know there are certain things that need to take place in the prophecies. And what this brother was sharing was that, so that means we're in a race against time to be able to meet the Lord when he comes. And I just had this sense within of urgency. Saints, there is an urgent need for us today on this earth to take these cities, to move for the Lord.
Amen.
In order to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for this fellowship to the young adults.
Amen.
I really appreciate you all. I appreciate your prayers, and I appreciate our burden to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
All right, let me say the first thing first so as to catch your attention. Number one, get a companion. Every one of you, if you don't have a companion, you don't have a way to go on. Then once you get a companion, start praying together.
Amen.
And when you pray for these four things. We talked about that the last time. Number one, pray to be vitalized. Number two, pray to have a vital companion living. Then number three, pray for gospel as part of your living. Gospel, not just one-time activity, but gospel as part of your living. Before I forget it, let me just mention this. Yesterday, I came early and I looked at all the people. I said, wow, that's wonderful, 3:30, and the place is almost full. And I thought about this. Listen, all of us, 4,000 people, commit ourselves so much for this 1 week of training. And it's supposed to be 24 hours, but if we just deduct all the times outside of the meeting, just to invest in this 1 week of meeting is 24 hours alone, because there's 2 hours for every meeting, right? And then you have 12 meetings, so 2 times 12, that's 24 hours. Listen. If all these ones would give the same amount of dedication just for the matter of the gospel and spread it out, butter it out throughout the whole year, and if you say you don't go out every day, you just skip the weekend and you give yourself 1 day of holiday, so let's say 300 days out of 365 days, you will give yourself to the Lord a little bit. You know how much 24 hours of equal commitment that you commit to the summer training and the winter training, you know how much they come to? They come to about 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day, you can pass out 10 tracks. And even if you pass out one track, listen to this, for 4,000 people, for 4,000 people, if we would all pass out one track a day for 6 days a week for the next year, just commit yourself to 1 year, we will be passing out more than 1 million. Do you know that? But it's easier to commit yourself to 6 days. There's companionship, there's the atmosphere. But what the Lord needs is somebody to be consistent. To be consistent, to build up your daily living, to build up your daily life, and to build up a gospel living. And every one of us need to serve in the gospel of the Son. So, number one, be vitalized. Number two, have companions. Number three, have gospel. Weave that, integrate that into part of your living. It's not a requirement. It's something that will make you vitalize. Then, number four, move with God's move, migration. And you migrate to a foreign country, you migrate to a foreign city, you migrate to a foreign district, or you migrate where you are. In other words, you stand on a different standard. And, I like to give the brothers time also so that they will share their burden. But I want you to say to yourself, say to each other, that this is possible. Don't say that this is impossible. Don't take any negative thought, any pessimistic thought. Yes, yes, I know this world is strong. Yes, I know the family is a challenge, but we're the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
The Lord has called us to be overcomers, and we can overcome where we are. Well, I gave you something from the ministry, which we can read over them if we have time, or you can take it back home and you can read it. But just consider these four things. And at the beginning of the year, I asked for 1,000 groups to be raised up in all the churches. I hope we will still see that. And I see that the Lord has done something among some of you in bringing you together to pray together. And you will hear that, or maybe you have heard that already, that the co-workers feel that they need to give themselves for 3 days to fast and pray. And I want you to pray to the Lord that that would happen not only just with the co-workers. I want this spirit of prayer to happen on three levels. Number one, I like to see it happen among all the leading brothers. Number two, I like to see this spirit of prayer to be strongly increased in all the churches through the prayer meetings. And then number three, especially for all of you here, I like to see all of you being grouped together in twos and threes and kneel before the Lord, I mean spiritually, maybe even physically, and give yourself to the Lord to pray in a strategic way. And there's a lot that Brother Lee said about that here. That is the basis. That is the foundation. When you have that, then the Lord will surely do something. And let me just say one more thing, that when you pray, learn to pray in a way of intercession. And I'm not minimizing the prayer of fellowship that we have emphasized so much, but start learning. Start learning to pray for people. Start learning to pray for places. Start learning to pray for specific things. I appreciate what that sister shared very much. Learn to have a book and write down everything. And then you will see the Lord answering your prayer, your supplication, and your intercession, item by item. And that's very important. Learn that. Yes, of course, you need the prayer of fellowship. But learn to be somebody that know how to pray and cooperate with the Lord. The biggest work that you can participate in is to participate in the Lord's prayer ministry, the ministry of prayer. Of course, out of the prayer, I am sure, I am very, very sure, the Lord will vitalize you to be one with Him in His move. So I'll just share that, and then afterwards, after the brothers say something, maybe then I'll add something more. But I'll just give this opening word, and then I'll give the time to the brothers. Amen. Amen.
Anyhow, I do like to say just a few things. You know, the burden that has been very much in me is the burden for migrations. Of course, this is a burden that is being spoken throughout the recovery, and particularly during the Memorial Day time. That was a glorious time to have this kind of fellowship and open our eyes concerning this matter of migration. Being the responsibility of all the saints. Before I say just a little bit about that, I'd like to just say this. Here in Anaheim, the young adults have been meeting together to have fellowship. And we began our time, it's all may be a year here in about a month or less. And we had, over 200 come to that time and 150 consecrate themselves to the Lord in a definite way, standing up in the meeting and consecrating themselves to the Lord.
Amen.
This was our beginning here in Anaheim. Right. And then in the fall, we met. Actually, we used the same outline, and it took us 6 meetings on Saturday nights to get through all the young adults. We did that by districts and by languages, and eventually, after having 6 meetings, we got through all the young adults with an average of over 40, between 40 and 50 in every meeting. So that's close to 300 that was in the meetings, 250 to 300. So anyhow, we really enjoyed that time of fellowship, and mainly we fellowshiped on this point of being vitalized. This is the first thing, brothers and sisters. And, of course, this is what Andrew mentioned. We need to be vitalized.
Amen.
We need to be vitalized. We need to be brought into a life that we are living Christ. We're enjoying Him all the time. Amen. And, of course, to be vitalized, there's a number of practices that we participate in. And we touch the Lord. And we learn to live Him. And let Christ become everything to us. This is the first thing. Only He is life.
Right.
Only He is full of vitality.
Amen.
And when we touch Him and we begin to live Him, our life becomes vital.
Amen.
It becomes something full of the life of Christ.
Amen.
And for all the young adults, brothers and sisters, we have to live this way.
Amen.
I have to live this way. Every saint has to live this way. And everything comes out of that. A dead person can't even turn over. You know, he's just there. But If you're vital, you can do anything. Look at me. You know, I'm not doing that much, but you can tell I'm vital. I'm alive. No one can deny that. And a person who is living and who is alive, no one can deny that. Either you're alive or you're dead. Well, as believers, the same principle is with us. We're alive or we're dead. We may have life, maybe, but we're not living in a vitalized way. This is the conflict that is among all the believers. And brothers, I hope that throughout the recovery, especially among the young adults, we would be vitalized. Amen. We would become living persons. And the second thing we got into here was the matter of meeting in the groups of twos and threes. And I don't know, David, how many now are meeting in this way. But many have begun to pray together and to meet together at least once a week, some in twos and threes, others, and they meet once or twice a week. Sometimes some meet three times a week. But anyhow, among the young adults, which is so encouraging to me, I just get the report, so many groups gathering together. And these are the real vital groups if they're vitalized. Amen. If they're not alive, they're just small groups, you know, without vitality. But if we're living and we come together in this way after being vitalized, we can pray to the third heavens every time we come together. Amen. And this will move the Lord. And this is the beginning of carrying out the Lord's work in every locality. Amen. We need a number of young adults who are vitalized and who have begun to pray together in oneness in groups of twos and threes. And I like to beg you and charge you and encourage you, whatever I have to do, get into a small group. Amen. I can give you the name of two brothers that we do our best to pray together every week, at least once. We like to pray more, but our schedules are so conflicting, it's even hard to grab once a week. But we do pretty good. Anyhow, we come together and we just pray. We pray concerning the Lord's interest. We might even pray concerning our family. Whatever the Lord leads us to pray, certain persons. And we even saw brothers saved in another country because at least we participated in the salvation. Amen. Through our prayer. Amen. And then we got the report he did get saved. Amen. You know, this is encouraging. Amen. And this is the Lord's way, and the accomplishment, the carrying out of his divine economy in the churches, brothers, Amen. Is released through our prayers. Amen. And then, you know, the building up of the prayer meeting in the church that Brother Andrew just mentioned. How can that be accomplished? I would say it can be accomplished if the young adults learn how to come together every time the church prays. Be in that meeting. And David knows, Juan knows, I get him and his dad mixed up all the time. And James, they're all here in Anaheim. We want them to be in the prayer meeting. And you know where we want them to be on the Lord's Day? On the front row. Amen. And not just sitting there, but prophesying. Amen. Of course, we ask them not to prophesy all the time and take over the meeting. But anyhow, be there supporting the meeting. Amen. The young adults have to pick up this burden. Amen. And you know, you sisters, if you got children, learn how to give up your children to another sister. Three of you come together in this way. Two of you go to the prayer meeting. The other one babysit all your children. And go there and pray. Amen. I can testify to you when I was a young adult. We were in five meetings a week, every week for many, many years. And that's when my children were babies. And you know, we never missed a meeting. I never missed a meeting, and my wife only missed one out of three. Or two out of six, whatever it was. Because she had to babysit. That was her turn to babysit the other's children. And I remember every night after the meeting. All my kids were asleep by then. I carried one on my shoulder to the car, laid that one down, went back, brought another one on my shoulder, laid that one down. You know, they never wake up. Then I'd take them in the house and stuff them in the bed, and they didn't know anything had happened that night. I mean that. Learn how to practice the church life in this way. Amen. You're young adults. You can do anything. Amen. You're full of energy. Amen. Don't think you're going to kill your kids if they miss 10 minutes of sleep. Right. We put our kids to bed about 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whatever time we chose. But they went to bed in somebody else's bed. Not our bed. Now, I don't mean that. I mean this. Learn how to participate in the church life in as much as you can. Amen. And there is the way. It all depends on your, I shouldn't say consecration, that's too strong. But it depends on, at least on your will. You know, this couple from Houston, I've got to know them a little bit. They were gained in Cambridge a few years back, now they're in Houston. Anyhow, they don't have any children yet. Praise the Lord, I think y'all are in the meetings all the time right now. But I can see it. You get a child, and you'll start missing the meetings. Of course, you have to miss one meeting, but only one out of three, or one out of four. I mean it. The Lord has to save all of us for the building up of the church. We're here to build the church, to be in the meetings, especially the prayer meetings, to pray. Brothers, some of these ask for a testimony. This is part of my testimony. You got to be in the meetings, or you can't be in the church life. You got to be in the fellowship of the saints. You got to be there prophesying, releasing the word, meeting after meeting. This is the way the church is built up. That's through prophesying. At any rate, I shouldn't go into all of this. But anyhow, I'm so burdened that you all would rise up fully in the church life where you are to be part of the church life and to be an asset to the building up of the church. Amen. Just your presence means so much. Well, brothers, then I'd like to just say a little word here. I know there's many things that could be touched on, but I'd like to kind of jump over those, and maybe these brothers will say something further, maybe Andrew, maybe some others. But that is the matter of migrations. Brothers, don't miss the migrations. Several of us brothers, one of them is Gerald, one of them's Dan, we have been meeting through with about 10 or 12 to 20 from each of the areas of the country. Oh, Rick's another one. There's Rick right there. We've been gathering together through the training every day at lunch. You know, one section of the country at a time. And our whole burden was migration. And one thing we did in most of those meetings was to play some of Brother Lee's fellowship in 1984 when he was covering the life study of Acts. Message number 9. In the written message, it's message 22, but the spoken message is message 9. And I encourage all of you to hear that message. I really encourage you to listen to that message on migration. But in that message, Brother Lee, he wanted to see out of California 50% move east. 50% is what he asked for. You may think, my goodness, what would have happened to the churches had they done that? They would have more today than they had before, I can assure you. If they all would have moved, wouldn't that have been great? Look at all the churches we would have across the United States had the word of Brother Lee been taken. And you know what then he told a story of everybody moving to Anaheim. When Brother Lee brought the ministry to Anaheim and this hall here was built in 1980. 75 and 76. I can tell you almost where every door is in this building, because I was on site, on this site, when we were building this hall. Anyhow, they came here. And when they came here, the houses sold for about $40,000. And in 4 or 5 years, they were worth 200, I mean, what'd they get up to, 120 by that time? Something like that. Anyhow, they made $80,000 on those houses because they followed the ministry to Anaheim. And Brother Lee said, all of you that bought houses, you need to do what? You need to move out of Orange County. If you have a house, you need to move. But the rest of you, if you don't have a house, you can stay. And then one of the brothers, I thought this was quite some insight. He said, I believe the reason he told the brothers this is that if you bought a house and you've been in that house, I think Brother Lee said, 5 years, that means you got planted. You're planted in Anaheim, or you're planted in Irvine, or you're planted, you know, in another city. So you have to move. Get unplanted. Pull up your roots and go. If you don't have a house, you don't have to. You hadn't got planted yet. Well, you know, then Brother Lee said, of course, there's no legality, and that's for sure. But he encouraged the churches to give up 50%, and then he said, well, maybe I don't want to devastate the churches. How about the churches just give up 10% per year? And he said, 1985 and 86, we'll give up 10%. Then 86, we'll give up 10%. Anyhow, he was going to get his 50%. 10, 10, 10. But that 10, 10, 10 was to keep going. This is how much the churches should give up. And we need to follow in this way. And this was Brother Lee's burden. Then I'd like to give you a little testimony of my experience. When I came in the church life in 1964, I don't know what was spoken. I can't remember. But I know when I went back to the locality that I entered into my first church life, I was burdened to migrate. I was just beginning the church life, but I was burdened to migrate. And so by the Lord's mercy, 2 months after I began my church life, I did migrate. And I went to a locality in Texas. It was at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. My wife-to-be was there, of course. And another couple, and my wife's roommate came in, which gave us five, and we started the church life. And we broke bread in January of 65 with five people. And then in 1969, when we all moved to Houston, we had 27, and all 27 moved with us. The whole church, no person left. We all moved. Because by that time, we all had seen the vision that the Lord had granted us in the early days, in 1964. Anyhow, brothers, I'd like to say this. Because I'd like to see many of you just go, brothers, go. Amen. Don't think the Lord won't use you. It's better not to do what I did, probably. It was the Lord's mercy, I guess, that we, you know, what happened, happened. Really, it wasn't that great, but anyhow, after 4.5 years, there was 27 of us. Amen. Brothers, the Lord will honor our going. Amen. He will just honor our going. When he came to this earth to begin his ministry, he gathered 12 and he sent them out. Then he sent 70 out. Then he died on the cross, and 50 days later, Pentecost happened, and then the church got settled. Then what happened? Satan sent in the persecution. And God sovereignly allowed this. And you know how many scattered out of Jerusalem? At least 10,000. At least 10,000 moved. And the result of this was the Lord spread his word. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and it was heading for the uttermost parts of the earth. And it reached the uttermost parts of the earth. But how did it reach it? Through migrations. And how is the Lord's word going to be spread throughout the United States and throughout all the countries? I was so glad to, I like to see Titus and David standing here together. They're on their way to Israel. Isn't that marvelous? We all have to go. And brothers, the door is open to us. We just have to walk through the door. You know, none of us are here for a job. What is a job? It's nothing. I don't care if you're making good money as a president of a bank or whatever you're doing. It's not worth a dime. It means nothing in God's economy. Learn how to throw it away. Go to the next city and become president of another bank if you want to do that. But do it in another city. Forget that city and move on. But don't be that independent. Do it in fellowship with the church. But go. Why wouldn't you go? Why wouldn't every one of you in this room go? You know what, brothers? My children, the first 5 years of their schooling, they went to five different schools, and these schools were located in five different cities, and these five cities were located in five different states. The first 5 years of their schooling was in a different state. Did that hurt them? I don't think so. Maybe I just can't see it, but anyhow, praise the Lord, they went through the full-time training and they're in the church life still. Amen. They survived. Amen. Don't worry about your children that much. They'll be all right if you're okay. And if you'll migrate, I'll assure you, your children will probably grow up to be migrating ones too. Amen. All three of my children are migrating ones. You know, with their husbands and with their wives. Or wife. I have two girls and one boy. But anyhow, brothers, if we will take the lead in this way in the church, the whole church will follow us. Amen. You pray. Of course, we don't just go. Then I'd like to say one thing more, and that's all. I'll give the ground to the brothers. But the Lord's recovery spread from Jerusalem in that way. And they just went out. Do you think all of them were Bible scholars and, you know, professors and these kind of men? They couldn't have been. 10,000 people being sent out by the Lord. The Lord wanted anybody to spread his word. They just went out. They were scattered. Brother, he said the word doesn't use the word migrate, but he uses the word scattering. The Lord scattered these. And brothers, I'd like to see all of you just scattered all over the United States. And I'd like to see you scattered to Europe. Right? And Israel. And we just scattered all over the earth. Well, these saints then were scattered. And some of them went all the way to Antioch. And that was kind of the furthest point by that time. But the migration or the scattering took some all the way to Antioch. And they sent the church in Jerusalem, sent Barnabas there to look it over. I think it was Barnabas. Anyhow, he confirmed that, you know, it was the church there, if I remember correctly. And then there were five brothers that started praying together there in Antioch. And they had a vision. And what do you think they were praying about? The word doesn't say, I don't think. But I think one thing they were praying about was, Lord, how do we continue the spread? How do we continue the spread? How are we going to get to the uttermost parts of the earth, which by that time was Spain? You know, that was the uttermost part of the earth. Anyhow, they prayed, and they prayed together. This is like a small group. Five brothers coming together, and they just prayed there. And as they were praying, and as they were so burdened for the Lord's interest, the Lord said, "Separate me two of these." And that was Paul and Barnabas. And brothers, I hope all of us would have many experiences like this. And even I have spoken to some here in the church in Anaheim. I hope your small group will be praying one day, and all of you will make the decision to go to, you know, Juneau, Alaska, maybe, or Iceland or somewhere. Follow the Lord's leading. I think the Lord will speak to us if we give Him this opportunity. And I hope, brothers, I will hear the stories of many experiences of how the Lord led you to go out. Don't go out alone. You have to go out with others. But we need to go out. Many of you have gone through the training. Don't waste those years when you can be spreading the word in other places. And I don't say staying in your own locality is wasting your years there. It's not. Because God's intention is to build up the lampstands and make them all the testimony of Jesus. And while we're in the locality, we're laboring to do this. But we also know there's a second step that the Lord wants us to invest our life in, and that is to spread. Spread this word all over the earth. And may the Lord lead us and bless us to become such participants in the Lord's bread. I hope you would just long for this. You would talk to your wives if you're married and say, "Honey, what are we going to do? Are we going to spend the rest of our life right here?" I hope she'll say no. And then she'll keep saying, "Well, what are we going to do?" And then the husband has to take some action. That would be good. Wives, you hear me? Anyhow, brothers and sisters, may the Lord have mercy on us. May we become so vital and so living. And may we be brothers praying together, participating in the church life in every way to build up the church where we are. And then, at a certain time, going out to spread the church life. Amen.
Okay, I don't want anybody to move. We're going to keep you here until 12 o'clock. You want to say amen?
Amen.
Okay.
I'll be very brief, brothers, but I do have a couple of burdens to discharge here. One having to do with this burden concerning the migration. Brother Benson mentioned this Life Study 22 of Acts, and I encourage all of you saints to get into it. It's in that message that Brother Lee talked about the Dead Sea. If we do not move, we'll end up being in a Dead Sea. And this applies not only to a church, it applies to you. It applies to each one of us individually. If we don't move, we'll end up being a Dead Sea. So may the Lord spare us of that outcome, you know, and we have to see the Lord wants to spread. You know, in that message, Bradley used to talk about that word scatter. He said the word migrate was not used in Acts chapter 8, but the word scatter implies that. But if you think about it, brothers, What is scattering? I tell you, scattering is forced migration. If you're not willing to migrate, the Lord will raise up some circumstances to scatter. And I'm not saying, you know, that we're not, you know, willing to migrate because we, you know, want our own comfort or whatever. Whatever the reason, the Lord is spreading, and He would raise up the circumstances to match His inward working so that the saints would spread.
Amen.
So I look at the history of the Lord's recovery. When the brothers in mainland China were raised up with Brother Ni, their view, they had no view of migrating to outside China. Their view was migrating within China, right? And that was their view. And they thought the Lord would use some missionaries which were in their midst, you know, to bring the recovery to the Western world. But instead, the Lord raised up the circumstances that they would scatter. They would scatter to Taiwan or Southeast Asia. Right? They would scatter. It was the Lord's way of forcing a migration. And then even in Taiwan, you know, Brother Lee, you know, there was laboring there. And then the Lord raised up some persecution to scatter. Even Brother Lee's coming to this country was because of some persecution being there at the time. You know, some rebellion in the church. That caused Brother Lee to come to this country. So time and time again we see, brothers, if we would not cooperate with the Lord in taking this way of migration, the Lord would have to be forced to raise up the circumstances that there will be the forced migration, there will be the scattering. But brothers, this kind of moving or migrating is our salvation to us.
Amen.
It saves us from being a dead sea.
Amen.
None of us wants our Christian life to end up being a dead sea. So we have to be saved. And I tell you, brothers, a way to be saved is to migrate.
Amen.
You know, in this matter of the giving of the material things, we have fellowship that the giving of the material things is not only so you can meet the Lord's need. It is that you would be saved from the power of mammon.
Amen.
You need to give because you need to be saved.
Amen.
Don't think this is just so you meet the Lord's need. No, this is for you to be saved.
Amen.
From this crooked and evil age. In the same way, I tell you, saints, the migration saves you.
Amen.
On one hand, it is to meet the Lord's need. On the other hand, it is that you would be saved from this age.
Amen.
Your moving will save you.
Amen.
Will save you from being conformed, being fashioned to this age. Now, this is the second point that I'm very burdened about from last night's message. This morning, as I consider that message, you know, that Brother Andrew gave last night, you know, I came to this verse, you know, in Romans chapter 12 about not being fashioned according to this age. This section on the church and on the church life begins with our giving, our offering, our body, and our not being fashioned to this age.
Amen.
Our being fashioned to this age is what nullifies our function in the body of Christ. And as I see many of you, you know, you, this age group, I'm so burdened for you in this matter. Many of you I see as I travel around, you've gone to the best schools, you've entered into certain professions, you have certain jobs, and there is this pressure, this mold that the world is trying to put you into to fashion you. You're expected, or there is this trend, you know, pressing upon you that you wear certain clothes, you eat in certain restaurants, you drive certain cars, you live in certain neighborhoods. You know, I tell you, this is the Lord or the world's way of pressing you into a mold, to fashion you according to this age. The being conformed to this age in Romans 12 is in opposition to our being conformed to the image of the Son of God.
Amen.
Which one would you rather be conformed to?
Right.
The image of the Son of God, or would you be conformed to this age? So inadvertently, you may not, or subconsciously, all the time that pressure is there to fashion you, bit by bit, to make you the same as the world. So that's why last night's message, you know, was such a help to me. You know, this point from Thessalonians about, as believers in Christ, we must live a life in our spirit which bears the testimony that the God whom we worship and serve is living in the details of our living. Amen. The reason we do not do or say certain things should be that God is living in us. Amen. I tell you, all the details of our living. You know, so I just remember Bradley used to talk to us, or in his speaking would say, how do you comb your hair? When you're before the mirror combing your hair, you need to call on the Lord.
Amen.
What kind? He said, you know, you go buy a shirt. What kind of shirt do you buy? You know, in all the details of our living, Amen. We need to have God living in us.
Amen.
So that we could be saved from being fashioned to this age.
Amen.
I believe this point, you know, in yesterday's message, is very critical for our salvation.
Amen.
Our being saved from this age. You know, our salvation is to have God living in us.
Amen.
It is to have a living God.
Amen.
In all the details of our living. So I feel burdened to say this to you, saints. I see the pressure that is upon you from this age. You know, you in this age group, you know, perhaps we as old folks, we don't feel it as much as you do. But may the Lord save you from being fashioned to this age.
Amen.
The age has its way, but we are a different people.
Amen.
We're a heavenly people.
Amen.
With a living God.
Amen.
And we live our life and we conduct ourselves in certain way that is according, not according to this age, but according to the Son of God, who is living in us, who is the living God, you know, being involved in every aspect of our living.
Amen.
Okay. What do you need to do? While I was listening, I got this picture inside me. And that's the airplane that's sitting on the tarmac. And it hasn't been moving for a long, long time. So you got to get it to start moving. And what do? You turn on the engine. And the engine start moving. You ever got on the plane, right? The engine start blowing and a lot of noise. But the plane is still not moving. Well, you got to reef up that engine. And then you got to stoke it up and you get a lot of turbo energy into it. Then, it slowly, it hasn't moved for a long time, right? But then, once it starts moving, then it moves faster. And then it moves faster. And before you know it, it's up in the air. And you're above everything that entangles you. So slow down that picture 100 times, you know. That's what you need to do now, okay?
Amen.
Get on your first move. That means the first move, get a companion.
Amen.
And start praying.
Amen.
And then the Lord may move you to start taking some steps, definite steps to change your living by setting aside 2 hours a week to go out. Just start moving a little bit first. And then when you start doing that, you feel spring is coming back. Spring is coming back to your spirit.
Amen.
And then you feel more energy. And then you fellowship with the brothers. And maybe the Lord will send you to a campus. And then when you go to a campus, the Lord will do something. Or maybe you'll work like a Harrier jet. And then you start moving. That'd be wonderful. But at least you turn on the engine. Well, look, who's piloting your life? That switch is not in your hand. Just open up to the Lord.
Amen.
And say, Lord, just turn on the engine.
Amen.
I say amen to you.
Amen.
I open up my home to you.
Amen.
And when you open up your home, we're going to have this message this afternoon.
Amen.
The issue of the gospel is that you would break your alabaster box.
Amen.
And in John chapter 12, that alabaster box is that home in house of Bethany.
Amen.
All the issues that the Lord has been working on you for years, all the 9 cases of feeding you, of watering you, of leading you out of darkness, of leading you out of the sheep's fold, is to bring you to the house of feast. And what is the house of feast? The house of feast is the house of the breaking of the alabaster box. And the fragrance filled the house. You have that message this afternoon. But I'll just tell you, for us young people today, what is our alabaster box for our homes? Number one, privacy. Number two, security. Number three, identity. Give those 3 things to the Lord. And that jet will start moving. The Lord's, Brother Lee said, the Lord's move can be as slow as the wagon or as fast as the 747. Well, we'll see how fast the Lord can move. 500,000 is not too many. But you got to tell the Lord, Lord, I give you the key to the engine. Turn it on.
Amen.
Turn on the wind, the fire,
Amen.
The cloud.
Amen.
Ooh. The electrum, and then the wheel will start moving.
Amen.
Should we pray a little bit?
Amen.
Or the brothers, you have something?
Amen.
Amen. Would you pray that way?
Amen.
Get on with your vital group. Amen.
We would like to close with some prayer, just very briefly. I just feel with the co-workers speaking and the testimonies from all the saints, we had the arrow with the feathers, and it hit the bullseye of our spirit. I feel very convicted, and I believe we all do. And we just would all like to respond to the Lord in prayer. And it's not just right now, but even going forward, to have a spirit of prayer among us. And mark it on your calendar, the 3rd week of July, like the brothers mentioned, a particular strategic time to pray intercessory prayers in the Lord's recovery. And there will be more coordination, we believe, among the churches. But even if you don't hear so much, at least with your companion, gather to pray.
Amen.
We need to be like Aaron and Hur, supporting, supporting Moses in this crucial time of prayer. There are 2 words that came to mind regarding this great undone work. And those 2 words are manifest destiny. You remember this phrase from your U.S. history? One of the most influential slogans in U.S. history, in world history, a belief that it was the manifest destiny to spread across the U.S. And Brother Benson and I were fellowshipping. Once again, at this juncture in history, I believe we have a new manifest destiny.
Amen.
Now, not just going westward, but from coast to coast, we would spread.
Amen.
We would change the culture in the recovery.
Amen.
We would not have a sedentary church life.
Right.
We would be a migrating people.
Amen.
It is our destiny at this juncture in history, in the Lord's recovery, to be one with the Lord for his move.
Amen.
This is our time for the wheel to move. Let us give the Lord the cooperation.